Well, some Sundays ago, Bonnie spoke to us from the creation story about our the way we manage this planet. And then last Sunday, Daniel mentioned again the Adam and Eve story. So I'm sticking with the theme. And I want to share with you some thoughts this morning about the legacy of the creation story. You and I are carrying a legacy today from that creation story. You remember the story? I'm not going to read it. I'll just remind you that they, Adam and Eve disobeyed God and did the one thing he didn't want them to do. And they ate the fruit, and then they suddenly realized that they were naked. It's interesting because they didn't realize that before, which is very interesting. They realized that they were naked, and so they covered themselves up because they were in a state of shame. And then as God comes, as he did regularly, to walk in the garden in the cool of the evening, and Adam and Eve were hiding in the trees, and he said, "Well, where are you?" As if God didn't know. Of course he knew where they were. But he was asking a deeper question of, where are you? And who told you? And then the blame game started. But guilt is the thing that came from Adam and Eve at that moment. So I just want to talk to you a little bit about my shame and my guilt. I can only talk about mine. I can't talk about yours, because I don't know where you're at with that. So the other thing I've done, which is a bit unusual, I suppose, the notes that I'm using, I'm going to ask them to be projected onto the screen so you can see what my notes exactly. Put it up, please. There's my notes. And I'm going to talk a little bit about shame and guilt. And everybody, just a few moments ago, were all busy chatting and sharing one with another. I want you to keep that going. If you want to say something, then just say it. Just come and just share your thoughts on what I'm going to share now. Because shame and guilt are not something we do. We don't do shame. We don't do guilt. It happens to us as a result of what we do. But we don't do guilt and shame. So when I'm in a state of shame, I see I have no choices available to me. I don't feel safe because my personhood, who I am, is at stake. What I do is emotionally driven. Now that's a state of shame that I've been in. I've been there, done that. In the state of guilt, I retain the ability to choose. I still believe I have a choice. And I judge what I do rather than who I am. When I'm in a state of shame, the boundaries around how I think, feel, say and do are vague. I can't get my head together. Everything's ear. Whereas when I'm in a state of guilt, boundaries are clear. I know what is right and wrong, and I have a clear set of values. That doesn't mean to say I keep to those values, but I do have an understanding of my values, and I do have an understanding of what is right and what is wrong. And I suspect we all do. See, it's not wrong to feel shame. It's not wrong to feel guilt. I'm not in any way suggesting that. I'm just saying that that state happens to us as a result of what we do. It happened to Adam and Eve as a result of what they did. Their disobedience, guilt and shame came upon them. And nothing's changed. We got that legacy from way back there. So now when we do things that we know we shouldn't do, we feel guilty or even ashamed of ourselves sometimes. I do. When I'm in a state of shame, I feel helpless and hopeless. I am not good enough. In a state of guilt, I feel and know there is hope. These are only statements that I am making about me. When I'm in a state of shame, I feel help. Forgiveness is not available to me. And that sometimes turns me into a perfectionist. Encourage, if I do better, I will be better. But the deep down experience is I'm unforgivable. And many people suffer with the fact that they feel, not all the time, but at times, unforgivable. When I'm in a state of guilt, forgiveness is available to me, and mistakes are okay. We're all mistake makers. I'm an expert at mistake making. And then, under the state of shame, I'm sorry, I am a mistake. But under the state of guilt, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Now, it would be nice if they were set aside, each side of my column, and that they were on their own, and life's not like that. All that stuff that I've just shown you on the screen, it's all mixed up in me, and it causes all sorts of reactions and responses from me, because sometimes I don't know where I am. And over this past year, there's been a couple of incidents which I still haven't come to terms with in my life. And might I suggest that that's probably true for all of us. Now, at the bottom, I put a state of grace. Wait, there's more. When I'm in a state of grace, it's got nothing to do with what I do, nothing to do with who I am, nothing to do whether I think I'm forgivable or unforgivable, nothing to do with that. Grace is all to do with God. Often we have a benediction at the end of the service where it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Often we say that. So what is it to be in a state of grace? Oh, perhaps I should remind you, we're all in a state of grace this morning. Every one of us. And you've done nothing to get that grace and be in that state. And I've done nothing, right or wrong, to be in a state of grace. So what's it like to be in the state of grace? Anybody want to share what it's like to be in the state of grace? One at a time. Peace. Yes? You get peace. Yeah. I haven't been at peace much with this hot weather. I can't sleep. I can't stay cool. I'm very agitated at times. Yeah, but you're right. Peace is a product of grace. It's a state. It's not. We don't do peace. Like we don't do shame or we don't do guilt. We are in that state. Anybody else in a state of grace this morning? Patience and a clear mind. Wow. How about that? Patience and a clear mind. Someone else? Yes. In a state of grace. Do you feel like you're in a state of grace? Is it a feeling, grace? It's a fact. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a fact, indeed. Now, I know you're all thinking things, but I wonder if somebody wants to think out loud. Humility, yes. Does that make sense, I was asked. Do you know, sometimes grace doesn't make sense. I can't get my head around why God would be so gracious to me, knowing who I am. Someone else, has got another mic that can go around somewhere?
Yeah. We're here.
We got plenty of time. You've had your tea and coffee.
I think there's a real sense of being able to truly forgive both yourself and others if you accept God's grace for you. And that comes with a real sense of freedom. Even if you have to practice it a few times, maybe a million, but there comes a point where I think that freedom to forgive yourself and forgive others is just pretty amazing, because then you don't need to worry about taking offense when someone does something to you. You can just let it go.
Thank you. Someone else want to share what it is to be in a state of grace?
It doesn't depend on your own state. In other words, regardless of who you are, where you are, or what's happening, it's a gift to you, and it's from God, and it's not concerned with, it's not dependent upon yourself.
Well, it just so happens that this morning I've been going over and over Ephesians 2, those first verses, and someone mentioned that they can't get their head around it. We will never get our head around it, because Paul describes it as the indescribable grace of God. It is beyond our comprehension, but he wants us to know it, to prove it in our own lives. And even that very purpose isn't for us. That very purpose of us knowing that grace within us, the grace that we don't deserve, that has nothing to do with us, is only so that God can show his indescribable richness of his grace in the age to come. And, you know, it goes on there in 8 and 9 to say it's not of us. We can do nothing. It's not of works. It's just that gift of God. So it is a growing thing, and it's something that I feel we've just got to keep on. I go through that passage, and I can do it when I'm on my own, but I wouldn't try and do it now. But I just go through that passage over and over, because it just helps me see this indescribable grace of God.
I think just following on from what the last two people have said, I think the word that comes to me is just acceptance. And it's just accepting that you're loved no matter what. It doesn't matter what it is. Just being able to accept that in all of those things there, you're still loved. I don't actually think that's that easy. But I think that's the grace that I experience.
The unconditional love.
The word grace, my understanding is, it's God's riches at Christ's expense. That's how I understand it.
Yeah, Just looking at some of those, the state of shame. Yes, I feel helpless and hopeless. And I'm finding forgiveness is difficult. When you've been wronged, you tend to look through angry eyes and with a heart that's changed. It's nice to know that deep down God's there at all times, and He will eventually see me through this mire.
Thank you.
I know with shame can actually become an idol in our lives, because we put our own shame in front of the image of God. And with shame, it causes us to strive, to think if we can pray more, if we can behave more, if we can do more in order to get out of the shame. It actually becomes an idol. It actually becomes before God. And the starting place has to be with grace. And actually out of the grace is how we operate. But for many of us, it's the shame that causes us to act. And if we act out of shame, we act out of the striving. As I say, it becomes an idol. We can never do enough if we act out of shame. Whereas if we act out of grace, then God is first. And it overcomes the shame. We may still end up doing similar things or the same things, but it's actually what it's coming out of. Our behavior, if our behavior comes out of shame and unforgiveness and guilt, then it leads to destruction and it leads to having idols before God. Whereas if we come out of God's grace, it leads to peace, it leads to freedom, it leads to us trusting in Him, His character, and who He is, and putting Him first.
Yeah, I love what everyone said so far, and I just wanted to add one thing. I've always seen grace as God seeing us as though we'd never sinned. So when we, you know, go through those periods when we do wrong and we feel this guilt and shame, just to know that God doesn't see us in that way. He sees us because of what He's done through Jesus, as if we've never sinned at all. And that's that just brings us so much freedom and thankfulness, because there's nothing we can do to earn God's favour, and there's nothing we can do to remove God's favour from us either.
Just let me stir the pot just for a few minutes. Is grace only for Christians?
That's what I was just about to say. You stated before that we're all in a state of grace, and that goes for everybody. All creation are in a state of grace because of what Jesus did. Whether we're in a church building or whether we've even spoken the name of Jesus before, we are all in a state of grace, whether we know it or not or believe it or not. And that can be a interesting theological discussion to have with people, but it's the approach that we need to have towards those that don't know Jesus, is that we need to see them as being in a state of grace, not in a state of guilt and shame, because they are just as much in a state of grace as any of us.
Well, just let me now remind you that we're on the threshold of 2020. Just let me remind you that we're on the threshold of a new decade. Just let me remind you again that you are stepping into 2020 in grace. Now you can drag 2019 with you, or you can leave 2019 where it belongs, in the past. We are privileged people this morning. We have grace, as the scripture says, upon grace. I don't understand that, but it's grace upon grace. And so, If you want another cup of tea or a piece of cake, let me just say to you, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the unconditional love of God the Father, and the sweet and indwelling Holy Spirit be with us as we move into 2020. Amen.